Well, we finished the Gospel of John, but liking the name John, we now move to 1 John. But I thought about it and prayed about it and said, we'll finish John. 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, and the book of Revelation, all written by the Apostle John. And how did John describe himself? He was the one whom Jesus loved. And this is John's own description of himself. And the Epistle of John was written in, we think, around 96 AD. John was pastoring the church at Ephesus during this writing of the epistle. And the church has been around for a few years. It was founded by Paul, but now John is pastor. This church has begun to kind of grow cold in their love of God and in their love of fellow man. And Gnosticism happened to be a movement that is now sweeping through the early church. And Gnosticism was a teaching where they denied anything good about the physical body. So Jesus came in spirit only. And the Gnostics kind of held to this belief of if it's physical, it's bad. If it's spiritual, it's good. And John writes his letter to set the record straight. In the verse 1 of chapter 1, John declares, I have seen and I have heard Jesus himself. Then in verses 3 and 4, John states the purpose of writing this epistle. And verse 3, he says, that we may have fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus. Verse 4, and he tells how our joy will be full when we have fellowship with God. Joy being a natural emotion, a personal emotion when we have a relationship with Jesus. John also writes in chapter 2 how we are to be not to be caught up into habitual sin, or we're not to be practicing, and that's a key word for this little epistle, is the practicing, the lifestyle. We're not to be practicing sin. So let's jump in. We'll read the first four verses of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. John writes this epistle, and he is an old man. He's probably in his 90s at least. If you go back to the crucifixion of Christ when he was about 30, the apostles being about 30, and you progress through. And he wrote this in 96. And he writes, what does he write? He says, I've seen and I've heard. And this is something I did with my own eyes and my own ears. And he says, and we physically touched and interacted with Jesus. He was real. Remember John at the Last Supper, how he leans on the breast of Jesus and asks, well, who's going to betray you and that kind of thing. And John wants his readers of this epistle to know, I was there with Jesus physically. And I'm not giving you some fantasy or some made-up story. I was there. So why does John get into this physical realm of his discipleship? As I pointed out, John is an old man, but he's still pastoring the church there at Ephesus. It was said of John that in his latter days, and he's starting to get, obviously, in those latter days, they would carry him from church to church, and his message was, brothers, love one another. And that's about all he would say. But John, he here in this epistle, he wants to correct a teaching that is spreading in the early church, Gnosticism, which taught Jesus was not necessarily, had not necessarily come in the flesh, but was simply a spiritual manifestation, perhaps even a ghost-like figure. And this false idea is still in the church today. Isn't that amazing? No, we don't necessarily go with Gnosticism, but we hear different things that come up in the church, like prosperity doctrine. Well, all you got to do is read Scripture to understand that we're going to go through trials, tribulation, and persecutions. Or how about faith in my faith teaching? It's kind of rampant. But we are to be repetitive in the tenets of the faith. Hopefully, and I say this hopefully, Calvary Chapel is known for expounding upon the written Word of God. We don't want to ever stray away from God's Word. But John takes us readers and he takes us back to the very beginning. He even takes us back beyond when anything was created, where simply the Godhead existed. How long was God in existence before any creation? Always. That's a hard concept for me to kind of take in. It escapes my thinking. God is not only eternal future, but he's eternal past. Now, everything we know of has a beginning. There's a passage, though, in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that tells us God has put eternity future into our minds and hearts, or we wouldn't understand it either. Each of us can contemplate and consider God always taking care of us. Death is only a gateway to the hereafter. But for me, God always being there with no beginning, it's just plain difficult for me to imagine. I've heard it said, take a stake, go back far as you can in your mind, drive it down, God's beyond that. Go back far as you can in your thinking. He was there before you can even contemplate. Now, science, it clings to a Big Bang theory of beginning. I have one question. What was there to bang? You know, there was matter there. Anyway, verses 2 and 3, John speaks of eternal life in the Godhead and being made known to man. And God invites us into fellowship with himself, the eternal God. Allow that to just kind of penetrate and sink in. He invites us into fellowship with the eternal Godhead. Now, God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and God is saying to man, come, have fellowship with me in the same manner that I and my Father have fellowship. And the word for fellowship, and the Greek word is koinonia, And it speaks, Koinonia speaks of a sharing, a communion, a common bond with one another. Now, aren't you glad that we come together and we come together like-minded? We believe the same. Have you ever been to a family reunion or a picnic? Not much Koinonia there in mine. And it's good to associate with brethren. Years ago, someone suggested to me that we have a pause in our service where we have a time to meet and greet one another on Sunday mornings. I was hesitant when I first was approached with that. What? Just give them a ballpoint pen and a visitor card, man. That's enough, you know. Don't you love those, getting that little ballpoint pen that you'll just cherish forever? But many, many churches do that. And our meet and greet time, I'm convinced, is probably one of the most important things we do in our services. It's where we have fellowship. And we're told in Scripture, do not forsake the assembling together. Why do we come together? Where we can share, where we can have fellowship, where we can pray for one another, interact with one another. We need fellowship with fellow Christians because we're social creatures. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, I watch TV, Christian TV Sunday morning, so that's enough for me. No, it isn't. No, it isn't, because you're not interacting. And God invites us to have fellowship with Him and His Son. The fellowship between Jesus and the Father is it's well thought out. It's conceived. It's who they are. And God wants us to enter into that fellowship. Jesus declared, I only do the things I see my Father doing. Jesus, when he was here on earth, would often find an isolated place to go and have prayer to his Father. He wanted that fellowship there. Jesus, to say he was in close fellowship with the Father is an understatement. Remember when he told Philip, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, that was a difficult thing for these Jewish disciples. The Orthodox Jew holds God in such high esteem that a personal relationship, or koinonia, is not even a possibility. The Orthodox Jew thinks Christianity is just a wild goose chase, that you cannot have an up-close personal relationship with the living God. When Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Think of that. Jesus choosing to call his disciples friends. That concept totally escapes the Jewish mind. Even for the disciples. Now, they were Jewish raised and taught. And for them to hear Jesus say these things was mind-boggling to them. But to understand, to realize Jesus is God, I think was probably the most difficult thing the apostles or the disciples went through. Remember, they often called, what did they call Jesus? Rabbi, teacher, Messiah even. But that's a little short of him being God. But Jesus in John 6 begins to speak of himself being the bread of life. And he also proclaims, well, let me read you John 6:54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. And this saying by Jesus, it offends many of the people that were following Jesus. And many of them turn away from following Jesus because of this saying. But after Jesus says that, he turns to his 12 disciples. And let me read you three verses here in John 6, what Jesus. And Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now this, we all, you know, oftentimes will pick on Peter and putting his foot in his mouth and so forth. But this is one of Peter's finer moments. And he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And then Peter confesses, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this confession by Peter, it is spirit revealed. We're told this in Mark's gospel of this account. The 12 disciples, to realize Jesus, their leader, their Messiah, is God, is revolutionary. Now, in defense of the Jewish disciples, God was held in such high esteem that a person could not even mention his name. They lost the pronunciation of his name because they never used it. And then the disciples asked Jesus, or Jesus asked the disciples, excuse me, do you want to leave me also? And you, my disciples, Jesus wants to know, who do you, my disciples, say that I am? And then it was Peter's confession, you're the Christ. And I think Peter's confession, I think it startles the other 11 disciples. May have even startled Peter in his moment of spiritual clarity there. But back to 1 John, verse 1. John declares, we have seen, we have heard, and we have touched him. Jesus manifested himself, made himself known to us, and we are witnesses of how God the Father and Jesus are givers of eternal life. Do you remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? He actually ran to Jesus, and he had a question. How do I inherit eternal life? And that question, I think, should be a question we all ask at some place, some time in our life. How do I get to eternal life? And here's the truth about God and his Son. They recognize, or Peter does at least, and they want, Godhead wants to have fellowship with us. And this was spirit revealed to Peter. The Holy Spirit works in your life and in my life to reveal Jesus and the Father and the truth of him. And now we have John. He's an old man. And he writes, and he writes to all believers who will read his little letter. And he says, open up your heart, open up your mind, your body, your soul, to have fellowship with God. And then in verse 4, John tells us, God the Father and Jesus, want our joy to be full. It's amazing when you look at all the religions of the world, Christianity is the only religion where God reaches out to man. All the other religions are trying to do something to please God, and we have in Christianity God reaching out to man. We, mankind, are the highest creation of God. We were created to have fellowship with our Creator. And this koinonia is God's desire from eternity past unto eternity future. We are to always have fellowship with God. That will not end. That will follow us into the heavens. Jesus tells us we are the sheep of his pasture, and we're happy and joyful when fellowship with God is in place. We were created for fellowship with our God. And as his creation, we can experience the joy and realize the meaning of our existence. And we can see why we're given an eternal spirit and soul to have fellowship with God. Why? So our joy will be full. I believe it's essential as followers of Christ to have what I call a quiet time, a time of devotions, and where we one-on-one have fellowship with our Lord. To find that place of quote-unquote koinonia in our busy life. Don't ever get so busy that you schedule God out of your life. And so as we study this epistle of John, we see why he refers to himself as the one whom God loves, as Jesus loves. I'm the one that God loves. Now, we each can insert our name into that. I, Don, am that man that God loves, and you are that person also that God loves. So as we go through this little book, and we see John point out vividly the reality of Christ, and that he wants us, Jesus wants us, to have fellowship with him and the Father, just like he and the Father have fellowship. Amen? Amen. So let me get you to stand, and we'll close in prayer.